former Prime Minister of Canada. I've traveled far from Montreal, and you're listening to Travel World on CIQC AM 600.
And good afternoon. I'm Stephen Pickford, and Travel World is on the air. We finally made it here. Bit of traffic out there on Autoroute 40, Autoroute 15, and glad you could join us this Saturday afternoon for Montreal's only English language travel show here on AM 600.
Glad to have you back,
Stephen. We got here after a great week last week. Kennedy Space Center, Cocoa Beach, can't beat it. Great flight on Delta Airlines coming home. Enjoyed our dinner, enjoyed the attentive service from the in-flight crew. A lot of fun. So wish actually we were still down in sunny Florida right now. It was great. Really a lot of fun. And this week, we'll be talking about Gibraltar. We'll be talking about Prague. Monica Delmos, Vancouver broadcaster, will be joining us at a little after quarter after the hour to let us know about some of those most intriguing destinations in Europe. A lot of people, you know, they've heard about Gibraltar, but kind of have to sort of place it as to where it is on the map. Prague, they heard about it with the opening up of the Czech Republic, the Slovak Republic, to tourism. So we'll hear from Monica as to what the best places are to see and where to stay and what to eat, all that great sort of stuff. But during the week, we also found out that out there in the real world, there is another Stephen Pickford. Last week, Mike Cohen, one of our media correspondents who writes Community Chatter in the Suburban every Wednesday, he mentioned our program, I guess the third time in around 6 months. We got a nice plug. Thanks, Mike. And I received a fax, somebody saying, are you the same Stephen Pickford who went to Sir Winston Churchill High? And he actually turns out to be 35 years old, same as me, but not the same person. Even our FedEx driver this week said, are you the same Stephen Pickford? No. So if there anyone knows who this other Stephen Pickford is or where people can get in touch with him, drop me a line. It's travelworld, all one word, lowercase letters, at reporters.net. The fax number 626-3138, or you can write me at Post Office Box 653, Stock Exchange Tower, Montreal, Quebec, H4Z1J9, and help those people out who are trying to find the other Stephen Pickford. Watch him have a radio show or something somewhere. Who knows? Also last week, we were down in Orlando to begin before we went to the Space Coast. And we had the opportunity to meet His Excellency Akel Aid Biltaji, the Minister of Tourism and Antiquities for the Kingdom of Jordan, who was in Orlando, actually for a historical first. He was accepting the World Peace Through Tourism Prize sponsored by American Express at the American Travel Market put on by Reed Travel Group in Orlando. And in the absence of the Israeli Minister of Tourism, the Jordanian Minister of Tourism picked up the award on his behalf. And it was very interesting to meet with His Excellency and to learn more about the tourism developments in Jordan and on this historic occasion. And actually, we were the first Canadian media people to have the opportunity to speak to him on that historic occasion. So that was a lot of fun. And in upcoming weeks, we'll be talking to him by phone as well. Other interesting things coming up, we received information on the upcoming Christmas markets. Now, think, oh boy, it's November 1st, Christmas is only 7 weeks away. They have the Christmas markets every year in Germany, but there's also a Christmas market in Granby. And the 17th edition at the Centre d'Interprétation de la Nature au Lac Boivin in Granby will be taking place the 13th of December. And there'll be Christmas stories and Christmas carols outside with lights and bonfires. From November 6th to January 8th, the visitors can also watch the or look at the exhibit of animal art from artist Paul Hebert, and they can also arrange in advance to take tours of the wildlife, 13 kilometers of cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. It's a lot of fun. So that's in Granby, and for more information on what's going on in Quebec, you can contact Tourism Quebec at 1-800-363-7777.
Okay, let's take a short break, and we'll be right back with more of Travel World here on AM 600 CIQC.
Travel World will continue.
And now the holiday.
I think you're dead.
CIQC, Montreal.
Just take a look at the rest of the people enjoying dinner at Maison Camphung. That should tell you how authentic and how good the Cantonese and Sichuan cuisine really is. Maison Camphung has a marvelously extensive menu with old and new favorites, all kinds of interesting taste sensations. Everything at Maison Camphung is delicious and reasonably priced. At Maison Camphung, upstairs at 1008 Clark between Vigier and Le Gauchetier, and their second location in Saint-Laurent, 1938 Timmins at Laurentian.
Vacation time can mean a heart-rending decision. What to do with your pet? Auberge VIP offers a unique concept in boarding facilities designed for the ultimate comfort of your best friends. From the moment of registration, a trained staff member is assigned to provide personalized attention to your pet. A variety of suite sizes are available for our canine guests, designed to provide privacy while cats enjoy a choice of multi-level apartments with a sunny southern exposure. Your pet's personal program can be tailor-made, from special diets to daily grooming and a play and exercise time each day. And it's not just luxury amenities which sets Auberge VIP apart. Auberge VIP provides for a totally enclosed environment, offering safe, sanitary conditions with personnel on duty 24 hours a day and a veterinarian on call. Auberge VIP, we invite you to call us to visit our facility and experience firsthand the care and special attention your pet deserves. Auberge VIP, a comfortable and caring atmosphere for your very important pet. Call today, 381-6653.
Honey, have you seen that Jean Coutu PJC Days flyer?
Why?
Why? I'm going shopping for all those great specials, that's why.
But I thought you'd already been.
As if anyone could save too much.
Stock up on White Swan bathroom tissue, package of 8 rolls for only $1.57. And Ivory soap will be going fast with 3 90-gram bars for just 69 cents.
I lent it to my mom.
Oh, well, apparently your mom and I have more in common than I thought.
Just direct your feet to the Jean Coutu side of the street.
Hi, this is Stephen Pickford. A year ago, I never thought I'd be using a computer. Today, I'm an internet junkie, and I love my computer, thanks to the good folks at Saturnus. I called 990-0802, and I was set to go. Call Saturnus at 990-0802. They've been in business for 25 years, and now I know why. Just one call to Saturnus at 990-0802, and I had my computer, printer, toner, and everything else I needed. Saturnus really knows their stuff, and they deliver. I didn't have to lift a finger. One call to 990-0802, and they brought everything, set it all up, and I was ready to go. And I know that when new things come out, I won't be left behind, because I can call 990-0802 anytime, and they'll upgrade me or trade me up. Now that's being computer smart. Having been in business for 25 years, you know that their 2-year guarantee on everything, even used computers, really means something. Just ask one of their many satisfied customers, like me. No matter what I need, toner, paper, disk, or software, I just call 990-0802, and it's there in no time. Call Saturnus today at 990-0802.
Yes, Gibraltar and Prague, two of Europe's most interesting and sometimes a little unknown destinations, are joining us on the line now.
Yeah, piece of the rock.
Joining us now on the line is Vancouver broadcaster Monica Delmos. Good afternoon, Monica.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, very good. A little rushed this afternoon here. I got in the studio a few minutes late, but I think we're back on schedule, back on track.
One of those delays.
Still morning here, so we're just waking up over here. So.
A little delay pushing back from the gate on Air Subaru today.
And so let's start with Gibraltar first. I mean, sure. Let's sort of position the location and how people can get there, because, you know, people want to sort of know where and where it is located and the easiest way to get there.
Right. Well, I don't know if there really is an easy way to get there. It's sort of on the bottom tip of Spain, if you can imagine that. It's the southernmost tip of Spain, and it is just sort of on the southern tip of Europe, so you can get there if you have a Eurail pass. You can get there by train, but you'd have to get off in Spain and actually walk across the border physically, because there is no actual direct transportation into Gibraltar apart from the airport, and you can actually fly in from a lot of places, but one of the main ones would be London.
Is there much trouble walking there when there's lots of rain in Spain?
Well, I was there fortunately in the middle of summer, so I don't know, but I guess
well,
it would
mainly
be
on the plains, I imagine.
Time. Yes, on the plains, definitely.
And you're talking about the airport is really one of the most interesting airports in regards to the positioning of the runway.
Oh, definitely. Like I say, London's one of the easiest access points, and it's about 2 and a bit hours from London. And basically, flying in, you see the giant rock. We probably all know it either from the movies or from, you know, the big imposing rock. And you fly in, and basically, the airport, and I don't know how to describe this sort of, you have to visualize that the airport is the border. So you have a border with Spain, and the strip that goes along the border is the airport runway. So if you're trying to get on to Gibraltar, you really have to watch out, really look left and right, because if not, you'll have a 747 heading right towards you, and it can be sort of a bit dangerous, I suppose.
Right, they have sort of like crossing lights that tell you when something's coming in that
there's a green, there's a red-green light, and basically if you're walking or if you're driving, you really have to pay attention to that light, because it's not a street that you're crossing, it's the airport runway to get onto Gibraltar. So, yeah, it's unique, definitely.
Do they have those little barriers that lower down and go ding, 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 like that?
It's just like a railway crossing, actually, you're right. You stop, and the things come down, and you hear the dinging, and there's a guard there, and there's a plane going right in
front
of you.
Always some hot shot and a little Geo Metro trying to get across the tracks, eh?
You try to beat it, you know, right across in front of the plane. The plane can stop for me.
Not with a Geo Metro.
But it's also very compact in size, only like 6 square kilometers in size.
Yes. I think there are about at least 30,000 people living on this rock, and as you can imagine, there's not much room for growth. It is, I think, about 6 square kilometers. It actually looks like more because it's such an imposing site, but in fact, I've been told, I haven't done it myself, but apparently you can walk around it in only about 2 hours around the whole rock. So
Gibraltar is the rock, or is a rock just part of Gibraltar and you land somewhere and take a bus and get there?
Gibraltar basically is the rock, and all the development is basically around the bottom of it, and the rock itself doesn't have too much development, and I don't know if that's just because they're not allowed to build on it or not, but basically all the buildings and all the residents live around the rock, so it is the rock.
And they get 4 million visitors a year. Where do they put them all up? I mean, is there much choice of hotels, or do they basically come in for the day and stay in Spain?
Yeah, I think they do stay in Spain. There is very little choice, but when I went, I had absolutely no problem actually finding a room, so it's sort of hard to figure out, but there are literally only a handful of hotels to choose from, and there's nothing too luxurious, although I hear a lot of the British people have bought property there, nice condos, and I think those are rented out sometimes, but apart from that, the hotels, I don't believe that there is sort of a first-class luxury hotel there. There are a couple of sort of, you know, average-priced hotels, and then there's a couple on the really cheap side, but I think most of the people that do come in for day trips from a lot of the resort towns in Spain, which are anywhere from half an hour to a couple of hours away, because actually Gibraltar is positioned along the Costa del Sol in Spain, which is sort of like the Spanish Riviera, and it's at the bottom of that. So a lot of the tourists that come in from the Spanish Riviera for day trips, basically. And
I'm told that Gibraltar is kind of across a strait from Morocco, in fact. Is that, it's like the gateway to the Mediterranean, what it is now?
Yes, it is, actually. You can take a ferry across to Tangier or Ceuta, and that's another wonderful day trip. And you can actually see Africa just from Gibraltar. You can take a cable car to the top of it and get a really nice view that way. Or even just standing on the rock, you can look across the straits on a clear day and see, you know, you can see Africa. It's really amazing. It's sort of where the two continents meet, they call it. It's sort of the merging point of Europe and Africa. And yeah, like I say, there are day trips. You can go into Morocco for the day, and although I should say that apparently you should really be careful when going into Morocco, because things are done a little differently there, and they do really take advantage of tourists when they see them.
Right, they want to rip them off in whatever way they can, you know,
exactly.
Here's an easy mark.
Swindle whatever they can out of your pocketbook, basically, is
so
the way it works.
Best to observe it from a distance on the Great Rock of Gibraltar.
Sure, or else, you know, go in a group, and it's really a really different world.
A well-armed group.
A couple of hours away, but it's where the two continents meet, so that's another unique point there.
Right,
what was your favorite part?
Sorry?
What was your favorite part of Gibraltar when you went down there?
It's basically the uniqueness of it, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's so small, and yet it's made up of a rock, and you go there, and there are actually monkeys on the top of this rock, believe it or not. I don't know if you've heard of the monkeys that live on Gibraltar, but they're the only free-range monkeys in Europe, and they call them rock apes, and they're little tailless monkeys, and they're actually from the wilds of Morocco and Algeria, and they live on this rock. I mean, if you can only, if there's only 6 square kilometers, and you know, some of the inhabitants are monkeys, and there's an ape den at the top of it, and you can see the monkeys close up, and yeah, I can't say that you could do that anywhere else in Europe, that's for sure.
Do they wear tuxedos? Why do they call them a monkey suit?
No, they don't. They're bare naked, actually.
Bare naked monkeys. Well, also, there's a lot of other nature in the area. I mean, 600 species of plants, many of them unique to Gibraltar.
You can see
dolphins off the coast. It's also a great staging port for migrating birds. I read that there, you know, 250,000 birds of prey alone pass by on their migration between Europe and Africa. So, I mean, anyone who is interested in, you know, ecotourism and all that aspect of tourism development would be interested in Gibraltar as well.
That's right. It's definitely far from a concrete jungle. Apparently, 3/4 of the birds in Europe actually come to Gibraltar at some point during the year, and there are, you know, hundreds of wildflowers and, of course, the monkeys. And then, actually, there's a whole system of caves, natural caves.
Right, natural caves, yeah.
Yes, and over 100 of those as well. And there are the cliffs. I mean, it's just... there is the town part of it, but also, you know, given that it's such a small area, it's amazing how much actually, you know, how much nature there is on this little rock.
Right, one of those caves, say Michael's Cave, it goes down like over 700 feet, and there's like a, they hold concerts in some of the caverns, and there's a below surface lake that people can take tours on, so that would be quite interesting as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. And there's also, just from the different, you know, Gibraltar has been invaded many times over the years by the Moors, by the Spaniards, and then finally the British got the rock. And because of that, there are also man-made, not caves, but also tunnels as well. So between the caves and the tunnels, you can sort of keep yourself busy inside the rock. You don't have to actually stay outside and walk around. There are lots of places to explore within as well.
A lot of historical sites, like above ground as well, because of that mixing of cultures and the different occupations of the area.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, it's a very interesting place in that you can't quite figure out if it's a Spanish influence or a British influence, because it's sort of a bit of both. And when you listen to people talk there, they sort of, a lot of people sort of say half their sentences in Spanish and then the other half in English and just mix words up, just because I guess that's how they grow up. And there are a lot of people working on the rock that are from Spain, so they speak in Spanish, and then some of the British people that have settled there, of course, speak in English, and it's just a mix of Spanish and English, and that's really interesting as well. And the sites sort of are the same. It's a mix of, there's some, you know, there's Moorish baths because of the African influence, and then there's a changing of the guard, and you can get fish and chips because of the British influence. And then, of course, there are, because it's on the southern tip of Spain, there are many, you know, things like cathedrals and whatnot that have a Spanish influence. So yeah, it's a very a different mix there.
Right, yeah, that whole mix, yes.
Monica, speaking, of course, to Marianne's heart here, what kind of shopping is there over on the Great Rock of Gibraltar?
Well, I wouldn't call it a shopper's paradise. I mean, you have the usual touristy things, a lot of T-shirts, you know, the rock T-shirts and the monkey T-shirts and that sort of thing. But apart from that, a lot of African souvenirs that have just, I guess, been brought in across from across the strait in Tangier or Quetta. You know, the African leather sandals and the purses you can get. And they're actually dirt cheap in Africa, but when they bring them over to Gibraltar, they hike the prices up. I guess they're still cheap by Western standards, but if you go across to Africa, you know, a purse that's $1 will be $6, let's say, in Gibraltar, for instance. Apart from that, it's a good place to get sort of Western electronic-type goods, because the southern tip, or the southern area of Spain, is sort of the, I guess, not the most wealthy area, apart from the resorts, of course, but the Spaniards themselves don't have access to a lot of goods, such as, you know, stereos and car stereos and that sort of thing. And they can buy that in Gibraltar, and they can buy, you know, sort of Western labels, so to speak, there as well. So you see Spanish people coming in to buy these things.
Right. Well, Gibraltar is certainly very interesting. And another city that you've visited recently was Prague. So why don't we take a short break, and we'll be talking about Prague when we return.
Sure.
Happy Saturday to you from Blowy Mountain on St. Charles and Kirkland, south of the Trans-Canada. I'm Lita Polson, and you've been promising a gift for someone. How about this? Maybe they need a new vacuum, and you need one that does the job, right? Something new at Blowy Mountain, the Beam Central Vacuum Cleaners. You can choose from one of the four models and get the system that's best suited to your home or the home that's receiving the gift. And, of course, your cleaning needs, very important. No more changing the messy bags, dragging around that heavy old appliance. From now on, thanks to Beam Central Vacuum Cleaners, your task is going to be so much easier. So drop by and see the base model. It's on display here. It includes 404-watt air power, 11.7-amp motor, permanent and self-cleaning filter, only $449, accessories included, free. Hose cover installation kit with a purchase of the vacuum, too. And that's on a 24-month guarantee with free delivery. Don't forget to ask about the instant credit plan. Buy now, pay only in September 98. No hidden or extra charge. Blowy Mountaineau, St. Charles and Kirkland, just south of the Trans-Canada, where quality always meets low prices.
Hi, this is Amanda Ober from News Channel 2 in Orlando. Stay tuned for my exclusive reports from Florida here on Travel World with Stephen Pickford on AM 600 CIQC.
Oh boy, we shouldn't sing on the air. Don't sing with the music.
This isn't a karaoke bar. Yeah, karaoke bars in Salisbury Beach. That's
well,
a whole other
I mean,
part.
Much like Xanadu, of course, the great places of Europe, a fun place to go. I mean, Great Rock Gibraltar, one of the seven original wonders of the world. And now we're talking about Prague and the unbearable lightness of being there.
Monica Delmos is joining us on the line. She continues with us, Vancouver broadcaster. And you were talking about Prague as well as a very architecturally splendid city. I think architecture is the reminder that one comes home with as a memory from Prague.
Yes, one of the first people, I'm sorry, I'm starting getting over that Xanadu, the Olivia Newton-John there. I haven't heard that in a while. Yeah, one of the first things people say, you know, when they've been to Prague is how beautiful it is. And it's not that they have the natural wonders, but it's architecturally splendid. The buildings apparently looked the same at the turn of the century, and they did sort of decline under the communists, but they have, a lot of them, been renovated, and a lot of the facades have been repainted in the city center, so they look as if they would have when they were first built, apparently. And yes, they're just beautiful, a lot of different colors, and the architecture, I mean, it just seems like so much time went into the building of all these different things. I know one church in particular, St. Vitus's, it took 600 years to complete, and now that's what I call, you know, devoting some time to a project.
Right, it took them some time to finally complete to what you see today. Of course, probably the communist era helped preserve a lot of those buildings for the fact that many of them were not torn down. There was not the money or the inclination or the resources to build fancy new skyscrapers, which destroyed those historical sites and many other cities.
Yes, it's a weird irony. You're right. A lot of them were preserved under the communists, but they weren't. The upkeep wasn't done, so it was lucky that they were preserved, and now it's lucky that they've actually the time has been devoted to restoring a lot of these buildings.
Well, there's around 11 styles of architecture represented, everything from Romanesque to Gothic to Cubism. So, I mean, it's really in one city to find that number of different styles in one location. You know, we look at one particular style, it may be very prevalent in one location or one region, and then another region, a totally different style. But to find 11 different styles in one city, that is something special.
Yes, people that know a little something about art, which I don't, apparently say that it's just a great place to go and observe not only the architecture, like you say, the different styles, but also in terms of the art itself that's available in the museums. Apparently, there are a lot of different styles. Of course, there's it goes from the classical, and again, art-wise, I believe there's a lot of cubism in Prague as well. And like I say, I'm not a big on art, but people have told me that in terms of the art itself, there's just such a vast range there, especially for a city that was communist until 1989 for a large chunk of the century, and now a lot of the modern art is sort of being discovered. So,
but as the West sort of is becoming a bit more westernized, the city, and of course that has led to new hotel development. But those hotels, those Western chains have come in and they have jacked up the rates. They are the most expensive places to stay, but there are other choices too.
Oh, yes. There are a lot of pensions and that sort of thing, smaller inns. You do have to sort of know where to go. The Western hotels, I mean, they are the same as the Western hotels would be back in North America, but the prices, yes, like you say, they've been jacked up. They are Western prices, which sort of seems a bit... The prices don't seem to correlate with everything else, because really Prague by Western standards is a bargain. The food is not too expensive, the entertainment is not too expensive by Western standards, and so some of the nicer hotels seem to be a little bit expensive when you compare, but there are smaller places, and a lot of the Prague residents have taken it upon themselves to rent out rooms because they know that they live in a city where everybody wants to go. So if you're, planning your trip ahead of time, and you go to your local tourist bureau, you'll be able to find cheap rooms, no problem, that are actually quite nice. But some of the cheaper hotels are quite Spartan as well, so you have to watch out. I guess it depends.
Right, they may be clean, but they don't really have those amenities that you might be used to. Well, actually, in the three-star category, I looked, and there's like 120 properties representing 6,400 rooms. Just in the three-star category. So if you get away from the four and five-star, the big chains that are there, Marriott and Intercontinental and Hilton, you can certainly find accommodations in a more reasonable price bracket.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But what would be the average Prague hotel rates per night, say, in Canadian dollars, Monica?
Well, for the three-star, it would be probably about 60 or 70, which is actually not that bad, but there are also a lot of places, like I say, that are not... Spartan, they are Spartan, but they are clean, and everything's there, and they're $30 or $40. But then when you get into the American sort of chains, you're looking upwards of $200. So, you have to sort of find a happy medium. So
well, sure.
Yeah.
But that's one of the nice things about going to a place like that. Now, tell us a bit more about the entertainment and a little bit of the food and shopping there. When Stephen and I, we go to a particular place, we're always looking for interesting things to do, to see. For instance, when we go to Gibraltar, part of the religious influence, we like to take in the Christian bookstores and things like that.
Right.
So when you go to Prague, what kind of entertainment and nightlife do you have there?
Oh, it's actually phenomenal. There are lots of bars, and it's actually referred to as a beer lover's paradise, and places, towns such as Pilsen and Budvar are not too far, so of course you get the Pilsner beer and the Budweiser that originated from there. So you go everywhere, and there's just lots and lots of beer everywhere you go. Basically,
you can drink your way across the country.
Yeah, it's a good place to liquor up.
German beer drinking songs.
Exactly.
And what exactly is the food like there? I mean, I know when we went to some places in the States, the food wasn't all that great, except for a few spotty places, but. You go to a place like New York City or even Amsterdam, and the food is just unbelievably good. What's it like in Prague?
It's very, very good, but very, very, very fattening as well. Dumplings are big. Your traditional sort of Slavic meals are everywhere, although now, because of the Western influence, there is a lot of fast food, McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, Burger King, that's sort of all over the city center, and you can't help but notice that it's, you have this beautiful architecture and a wonderful building that's, 300 years old, and at the bottom of it, there's McDonald's, sort sort of
well,
thing.
Well, yeah, it seems kind of a shame, to fly all those miles to Prague and sit down gnawing on your Big Mac.
Exactly.
When you could be having a dumpling. I know that when we went to Amsterdam, one of our correspondents, Dave Cooper, he had a lot of dumplings in Holland, and that was one of his favorite things to
have. Oh, no, it's wonderful, but like I say, it's not, you know, for those that are watching their weight, definitely, but you have your goulash, dumplings, all that sort of thing, a beautiful, you know, homemade bread, you know, with lots and lots of lard, butter, that sort of thing that they put on top. They put lard on top of the bread sometimes, as well as butter, of course. And basically,
lots of cream, yeah.
Yeah, but the meals are actually really cheap, even at, you know, really nice restaurants. You don't pay more than about $20 per person, but that's at a really nice restaurant. So, you know, a sort of semi-nice restaurant, your average sort of place where you'd want to go for dinner.
Now tell us, what's your favorite? What was your favorite place to go there? What's your thing? You go to a town. What does Monica like to do?
Oh, St. Charles Bridge, beautiful, beautiful bridge, as well as Prague Castle. It's sort of the main site in Prague. I would venture to say that. I mean, the castle is on a hill and it overlooks the whole city, you know, and it's just so imposing and it's so large and it's the only building on the hill. So, you know, I don't know if you've seen the movie Mission Impossible. But,
oh, yeah.
But the bridge, you know, that is in the movie, and that's St. Charles's Bridge, and it's absolutely beautiful. It has statues all across it. It's pedestrian only, so no cars, and the cobblestone is something that you notice right away, you know, especially the rain slick streets and the cobblestone. It has that sort of romantic notion to it. But
those sort of symbolize the whole Prague experience. Well, Monica Delmos from Vancouver, I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon here on Travel World, letting us know about those two destinations you've traveled to recently, Gibraltar and Prague, and hope to hear from you again in the future with some more of your travel experiences.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I also want to give out the telephone number for the Czech Tourist Authority if you'd like more information on Prague. The number is 212-288-0830.
Is it a cash-only place, Stephen, or do they accept checks?
Yeah, and Slovaks, too.
Okay, let's take a short break here, and we'll be right back with more of Travel World here on AM 600. Stay listening. You guys are bad.
AM 600 Montreal.
This is Sharon Delaney from WXLV-TV in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Stay listening to Travel World with Stephen Pickford here on AM 600 CIQC.
CIQC.
Welcome back to Travel World. Here I am,
and we are back following, and we're working for the weekend.
Yes, another 9 minutes or so to go. Wish we were still back on the beach in Cocoa Beach, Base Coast, from last week.
Oh, it was like bathwater, Stephen. It was incredible.
Oh, it was 75, 80 degrees, and such a gently sloping beach. I mean, you could walk in out for, you know, miles and miles, and really
yeah, miles and miles beach here.
In both directions, both up and down the coast and right out into the shoreline. Oh, it was great.
Well, the nice thing about that hotel, and it was great, the people are friendly and all that, and again, we've done it again for our listeners at CIQC. If you go to the Cocoa Beach Hilton, they will give you the Canadian dollar at par for the following year.
Right. Now, that's our big saving, 40%, 42% off. Just mentioned you've heard it here on Travel World on AM 600. And Angie Cross, the sales director of the Cocoa Beach Hilton, will give you a big, warm Space Coast welcome. It's a great location near everything there is to see on the Space Coast. Great beach, near restaurants, near some of those great ecotourism adventures, the nightlife entertainment in Melbourne. It's one of those destinations of Space Coast where you think of Florida and you just go to the beach, or you just go to Disney and that awful D word.
No, not the D word.
The D word. I mean, there are other words beginning with D I'd rather spend some time at. And the...
In Society Hill.
Yeah, Society Hill. We go to Philadelphia, the big D there.
I have to tell you, though, that, you know, you go to Cocoa Beach, it's also part of Orlando, so... Speaking of the D word, there is an alternative to going down there. If you like to go down to Sun State and you've already been to the D word, which, by the way, it's kind of like, you know, running through a gauntlet where everybody picks you clean of your money. I mean, awful place. You can go to Universal Studios, and they have formed an alliance with Busch Gardens, with also Wet and Wild Fun Park, and also SeaWorld, where you see Shamu the killer whale, not Seamus the golden retriever. And you can actually go there with one ticket, and it includes all your ground transfers there and back. And you don't have to go all in one day. It's there and back. They'll pick you up at your hotel. So you just go to the hotel, call these people up. One ticket gets you in for the entire week, the whole family.
Right. No, that's
end
of story. The Orlando Flex ticket. And, no, that is a good value, especially when you're going with a family. Mm-hmm. And those are very family-oriented entertainment attractions that
because
you have a good time
at. Because we are a family show. Yes.
Yes, we are a family show. And, I mean, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, Wet n Wild, Busch Gardens, Tampa Bay, really different. Each attraction is very different from one another, but you not only have fun, but you learn something at the same time at each of them.
Busch Gardens is kind of nice because it's like a theme park that also has a lot of nature still preserved in it. And, you know, they're having new attractions also at SeaWorld other than just Shamu the Killer Whale. There's some very interesting things going on there as well.
Right, they're investing money to build some actual amusement-style rides as well. And of course, Wet n Wild, when it's a hot day in Central Florida, hot, muggy, steamy, go and cool off, you have sort of an inland beach experience.
It's something else. But I tell you, when we went down to Cocoa Beach, it was really hot that day we came back. It was, you know, up in the 80s, 90s.
Oh, 87 degrees it was that day.
Oh, so in the neighborhood, I mean, for those of us, it's probably 32, 33 degrees. And gee whiz, it was really hot. So what we did, we went down to the beach, sat there, did our catas in the water, and
yes,
we've been graded also.
We have we are now a red belt with black stripes, so our next step is a yellow belt. And
at Bunkai Karate Do, good old Ron Philpott, our sensei, and couldn't do without him, that's
no,
for sure.
No, I mean, Ron is the best when it comes to introducing people to the martial arts.
That's for sure. So it's a great course. Those of you who have even been the least bit curious about the martial arts would do well to come and see Ron over in the West Island. So
that's always part of our routine when we go to a beach destination is to get in our katas. And that's what's fun about going to the beach as well, because you see so many people out there walking, they're running. It's sort of a harder pack sand in Cocoa Beach, so you can ride beach bicycles. It's just getting out there, and there are so many different type of seabirds that were landing on the coast, and most of them were not scared of people. They walked right up to people a couple of inches away, digging for food and looking for clams and different things. I mean, it was just a whole nature experience. It was not a big developed beach. I mean, the highest building is 6-7 stories, so you weren't in a canyon of high rises like you are in South Florida. It's controlled development. The sea oak dunes come right up. It's very right next to the Cocoa Beach Hilton is a city park. So that you don't have a big high-rise hotel overshadowing you, so your room is in darkness all day. I know that's part of what Florida was meant to be.
Well, even way back then, the other nice thing is that you have a direct view of Cape Canaveral, and you can see just about every rocket launch right off the beach out of your hotel room.
Right, you feel it just coming right almost in your window. I mean, you're miles away, but I mean, when it takes off, the whole sky lights up.
It's like another sunrise. It's something to see.
Oh, it's something to see, and that's what people go to the Space Coast for. It is an experience that you will get nowhere else. It's, you know, a real action that is taking place, not something that is man-made or you see in an amusement park, and it's, you know, every hour on the hour. This is something that is a planned schedule, and you can check that out at on the web at www.kennedyspacecenter.com.
That was kind of neat when we went to the Space Center. It's worth a visit at least once just to see. You know, people think about the rockets, and, yeah, well, who cares, rocket this, rocket that, and why should we put our money into that sort of thing? But what they don't realize is the efforts that they made to build this site to put a man on the moon involved over 400,000 people in the States, which is, you know, 1% of their entire population. And these are people in the engineering field, created an enormous amount of employment, and a lot of the products that we take for granted today
were developed impetus for development
because of the space program. You know, polymer panels for your car, you know, little alligator baggies, that kind of thing. This was originally a development of the space program. So, you know, and I'm glad that Montreal is getting into the development to, you know, Canada Space Center, located right here in our great city. And this is what it's good for. All the spin-offs and all the quality of life improvements that happened just because of this.
Right, one event that has had so many different spin-offs to create other employment opportunities, different products that have come to market. It was the impetus for a great many later developments.
So there it is. Go down to the Kennedy Space Center. See Piazza's brother, Melissa Tomasso, over at the Kennedy Space Center. You can see the Rocket Garden and the Pocket Rocket Garden, which is not necessarily a monument to Henri Richard. And you'll have yourself the time of your life. Plan to spend 2 days there.
82 days, I mean, really, to see everything. And, I mean, spend a whole week on the Space Coast. And as I say, it's one of those destinations where you don't just lie and vegetate on the beach. You do go and learn something. Kennedy Space Center, you can see nature up close on an airboat ride. You can spend an evening at theater or ballet or the opera. I mean, it has so many things going on other than just lying there and vegetating. And, of course, the best way to get down there, of course, is on Delta Airlines.
Delta Airlines, and that was a really great experience, and it's really neat. We met an interesting flight attendant on our way back. Of course, somebody had left a leaking bottle, milk bottle, in the overhead bin above us, so it was leaking down. Somebody joked that it might be jet fuel, which is not particularly bright on an airplane, but she was smart. She got the mess cleaned up real quick, and on top of that, patched up the leak, so
we had a great
sense of humor, too.
Good flight and friendly crew and a hot meal on the way home, as I mentioned last week.
Yeah.
Delta's the only airline serving a hot meal, only U.S. carrier serving a hot meal out of Montreal these days on that route. So
fly Delta. It really is something. And
of course, beginning of December, just a little over a month away, the man who have symbolized Delta for many years, back to the days of Northeast Airlines, the big yellow birds flying into Montreal, Hank Canavan. He'll be here with us in studio.
As in Hank, is that you?
Yeah, 50 years of aviation experience, but next week, something really exciting, too. I know you'll be here with bated breath, Willem, Jet Setter Travel Accessories, Marianne Bowen in studio.
Marianne, you're going to love this. This is the James Bond stuff. I mean, Marianne Bowen and Jet Setter Travel Boutique, if you're there, buy something. It's worth it. And What is this stuff, Jet Setter Travel Accessories? Some people say, well, what's a travel accessory? All those little gizmos and gadgets that you need while you travel that you end up buying at the airport for $9,000 more expensive than it ought to be, you can get at a reasonable price over at Jet Setter. I mean, things like, for instance, my camera. I had my camera. We were in a little boat. It was just in a small puddle of water, but it was dead because of one of those new electronic gizmos. At Jet Setter, they have this little wraparound thing. You put your camera in. It can be underwater, and you can still take pictures. So, among other things, you've heard the commercials.
Oh, yes.
You're going to want to see this.
We see some of the different accessories in studio, and we'll be explaining them to you and describing them to you. And, it'll be a lot of fun next week.
And once again, the theme song plays, Je Reviendrai Montréal, which tells us all, as much as it is great to travel, it's always fun, and it's always great to come back to Canada's greatest city, Montréal.
Thank you for listening to Travel World this Saturday. I'm Stephen Pickford, and glad you could make us part of your Saturday afternoon listening schedule, noon to one, here on AM 600 CIQC Information Radio in Montreal.
I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Marianne Doucette.
Thank you for listening to us this Saturday afternoon. See you next week.
Happy traveling, everyone.
J'ai besoin de cette lumière. Descendu droit du Labrador.